Hey my friend, welcome to the Tradie Success Podcast. I'm your host, Greg Allen, and I'm so excited that you're here. If you're new to the podcast, at the Tradie Success Academy, we help trade business owners create freedom from their businesses to live their best life. So I'm really excited to be sharing some of those lessons from members, other coaches in the academy, and my own experience growing my trade business. So make sure you hit subscribe and follow us on your current player, and you can head over to Spotify and ask a question where we get to understand what you want to hear more of. So make sure you do that, and until then, enjoy the show. Hey everyone, welcome to the Tradie Success Podcast, here today with Chris Karavasilis. Very excited to be talking about Saints Electrical with you today, Chris. What got you into the trade, some stories about on-site, your business, and other things all to do with your trade industry and business. So thanks for joining us on the show.
Mate, it is an absolute thrill to be here today. I'm so stoked.
I can't express my gratitude for the amount of contribution, participation, connection that you provide in the academy. You're a superstar, and I can't wait to share with the world your story, what you've learned, and everything that we're going to cover today. So yeah, let's get stuck into your story. So I'd love to know about what got you started in electrical.
Well, my dad was an electrician. He's retired now, but I got to the end of high school and had to make the big decision. What am I going to do for the rest of my life? And the thought of going to uni for 4 years and sitting in a classroom for another 4 years, it didn't sit well with me. Like, I just did not want that. And so I thought about it, and I thought about a number of different directions I could go in. And I thought, well, look at Dad. You know, he's an electrician, not much more than that. But we've never had a problem putting food on the table. We've got a pretty comfortable life. So I spoke to him about it, and naturally he was pretty chuffed. He was working for himself, but he wasn't in a position to take me on as an apprentice. But I went and helped him out on a couple of jobs, and got into it. So not long after, I started busily applying for apprenticeships and got a job soon after, started in the January of the following year. That was 2004. And from there, you know, look, I moved around a little bit, jumped around, and have seen a number of different areas of the industry. I actually took some time away from the tools, worked in wholesaling and worked in sales and management. And eventually it led me back to, you know, wanting to do my own thing. And so here we are at the helm of Saints Electrical.
Yeah, man. And it's been an exciting journey for you. And I'm really excited to dive into the intricacies a little bit later. So with your work at the moment, could you walk me through what a project looks like for you? So just pick maybe an average project from the moment someone reaches out to you at Saints Electrical. What does that process look like? What does the project management look like? Just to give the listeners a visual of the type of work that Saints Electrical does.
Yeah, so a lot of the work we do is in the EV charging installation space. So typically what will happen, we work for a couple of different types of customers in that space. We do work directly for consumers and installing in their home. We also work for a number of distributors who sell a supplied and installed package to customers. So in those cases, they're typically a bit more straightforward. So the distributor will contact us and say, hey, we've got this job for Mr. and Mrs. Smith. They want a charger installed. Are you interested? We'll have a look at the particulars of the job. You know, we'll have a look at the house, have a look at the layout. Where's the charger located in relation to their switchboard? We'll then, you know, accept that job, and we'll get in touch with the customer. And we'll say, look, hey there, it's Chris, or in more recent times, it's Laura. Laura, our admin manager, absolute superstar. So shout out to her.
Yeah.
You know, hey, it's Laura from Saints Electrical. We've been asked by so-and-so to help with your EV charger installation. And so we'll schedule the appointment from there. From there, our guys will get to site. They've already got a pretty good idea of what the job entails in terms of where's the location of the switchboard, where's the charger going to be located, so how much cable they're going to need, how much, you know, how we're going to run it in. And from there, we explain everything to the customer, explain, okay, here's your switchboard. We're going to run our cable from here up into your roof space, across to the other side of the house, et cetera, et cetera. Give them an understanding of what's involved in the installation. And from there, we get stuck in, we do it, we document things along the way so that we can refer to it later, so that, you know, if there are any issues down the track, we can refer to it easily and help the customer. I mean, ultimately, for us, we believe in providing an exceptional experience for our customers. And so that extends right from the time that they first reach out to us, right through to after we finish the job and they need some post-sale support, and pretty much every step in between.
And that's an example of great customer process to maximize that experience for the customer. So, yeah, really proud of your process that you've developed. Now, for someone that's not an electrician, maybe walk them through what is an electrical EV charger and, you know, electric vehicle charger, because they're new to the market. They're only, you know, less than 10 years old, you know, for when we've actually started installing the first couple of them. And so what is an EV charger and how does it connect to the power system? Like, really basic, it might be a non-electrician or someone that's just interested in understanding what it is. Just explain what that is for them.
I'd imagine that most of the people listening to this podcast know what a Tesla car is or an electric car. So it's a car that doesn't work on petrol or diesel. It is powered by a battery. Now, batteries tend to overuse. They reduce in their capacity, so we need to charge them. So that can be as simple as plugging it into a PowerPoint on your wall, but the process for charging a battery that way is incredibly slow. And in most cases, it doesn't fit in with customers' lifestyles. So what we do, we install a wall charger. It's a bit higher powered, so it produces more power to charge the battery at a faster rate. But as you can expect, it requires more power from the grid. So we have to run a new circuit from the customer's switchboard that's dedicated for that wall charger. Now, that charger can be powered by the grid electricity, so the electricity that comes to the customer's home from the street, or it can be powered by solar power. So if the customer's got a solar power system on their roof, they can use that power that the solar system generates to charge their car, or they can use a combination of the two.
That's awesome. And so have you ever had the instance where the home doesn't have enough power or their mains doesn't meet the maximum demand?
We haven't as yet.
Yet?
We haven't as yet. So we've been pretty fortunate. We've walked onto a number of jobs where the switchboard isn't up to scratch. So they may have the old ceramic rewirable fuses, and we'll explain to them the downsides of having that old technology and the benefits of upgrading it to keep their home and their families safe. But to date, we haven't had an instance where we've had to upgrade the incoming supply.
A lot of those switchboards too have asbestos in the black paneling, and it's a good reason for the consumer to replace that with an RCD protection as well without doing it legally, which happens, unfortunately. So Chris, how do you feel about being at the forefront of Australia moving away from fossil fuels and towards the electrical vehicles and being at the hero of the sustainability movement at the moment?
Look, hero is a bit of a stretch, but look, we're really proud to be a part of it. You know, we electric vehicles, it's clear that they're here to stay, and they are so important because we need to move away from fossil fuels. There's no denying that. And as much as there are people out there that like to shit talk about EVs and say, oh no, give me a V8 any day. No, mate, like, EVs are coming. They're a part of the long-term landscape of not just this country, but globally. And so for us to be a part of that and to be able to lean into our expertise that we're building in that space and to help advise people, advise customers, and just help customers to move in such a positive direction, it's a really big thrill for us, you know, to know that we are making a difference to not just our customers, but the environment, society, our community, it's huge.
I love that, man. No, thanks for sharing your insight. With EV charging and with all other types of jobs that you do, what are some of the other trades that you work with as an electrician out on site?
So we work very heavily with plumbers. So we do a lot of work in the hot water upgrade space as well. So upgrading existing storage tanks to energy efficient heat pumps. So we work very closely with plumbers. We also work with handymen. So we've got a couple of handymen that we pass jobs back and forth amongst each other. And we've got a pretty good network of other trades that we work pretty synergistically with.
I mean, in the spirit of trying to reduce the amount of shit talk that happens on site about other trades, we're trying to educate trades on why people get upset about certain things. So what are some of the things that you wish the plumbers and the handymen that you work with knew, just to help educate other people that might not know this yet? Maybe they already know that because they work with you and you're a great communicator, but maybe there's other handymen and plumbers listening to this with hot water systems. Let's just give a hot water system example. What do you see as terms of mistakes that plumbers make that cause you issues as an electrician?
Well, look, first and foremost, I think plumbers and other trades need to appreciate that electricians are the king of all trades and they need to bow down before us. No, seriously. But look, I think just having those open lines of communication where, you know, we're typically working in a pretty confined space. We're working on top of each other, where he's trying to manipulate his pipe work around to suit the new hot water system. I'm trying to manipulate the cable and connect that to where it needs to be. So I think just making sure that we're communicating openly, understand what each other's roles are, and try and complement each other in terms of, all right, do you need help? I need a little bit of help. You know, just work together, work as a team. Ultimately, we've all got to remember that we're there for the customer. You know, we're there to service a need that the customer has. So let's just get on with it, work together, and get it done.
Love it. I do have one for hot water systems, though. So if it's, make sure there's space for the electrician to open the terminal box 100%. To install the cable.
100%.
Hot water systems we've gone to and you can't even get a screwdriver in to unscrew the terminal.
I've been to one
to get in there.
And it was a small hot water system inside a kitchen cupboard and the terminal was literally against the bottom carcass of the cabinet. So I couldn't access it, couldn't open it, nothing. And it wasn't anyone's fault. Like, it had been there for 20 years or something, but
yeah, oh, probably mate. Built the cabinetry around yeah. it. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, but that's one of the things we're talking about. So trying to educate each other, like an electrician will need to get in, get the screwdriver in to be able to get that off and install the cables. So make sure there's enough spacing there is something that I've faced a lot 100%. In my career as well. Yeah, cool, man. So off the back of that, what would you say one of the weirdest jobs you've ever done is? Because there's so many weird things that happen out on site, right? I've got thousands of stories of just weird stuff happening. So I'd love to hear what something comes to mind for you, just in terms of a weird experience that you weren't expecting. Maybe you're rocking up to a job and you just didn't expect that to go that way.
All right. So a number of years ago, and I reckon just about every tradie's ever been here, you walk into a house or you arrive at a property and it looks pretty nice, pretty well maintained, you know, nice looking house, single story brick residence, and you walk inside and there is just shit everywhere. Like, it is wall to wall, floor to ceiling, just rubbish and papers and crap and dirty nappies and just anything you can possibly think of. And I'm there to install a new stove for this person. And I'm looking around and I'm like, how the hell am I even going to get this in here? Because it was just me. And I'm like, okay, I've had a conversation with the customer and you've got to try and be delicate about it. But you're like, you've got so much shit here. I can't possibly. But anyway, but the other side of the coin.
You just pretend. You're like, oh, this is normal.
Yeah, just part of the job. But at the same time, you go to other houses and they are so pedantic. Like you pull an old appliance out of its cavity and they're like, oh, quick, let me clean it up. And it's like, my dear, let me tell you, I've seen some things that will make your skin crawl. A little bit of dust behind your oven isn't going to hurt anyone. But then at the same time, I've got this bloke that lives down the road from me, and I'm pretty confident that he's not going to listen to this. But you drive past his house, and his house is chock-a-block with, like, he's a scrap metal guy. So he's got, like, old fridges, old hot water systems, old appliances, steel gates, everything littered throughout his front lawn. And he asked me to come and take a look at a job at his place one day. And I walk in there, and the place is immaculate. Like, for a guy with so much shit all over his front yard, it is just such an immaculate house. It was like chalk and cheese. So you think about this one instance where you drive up to this house and you think, oh, yeah, this is a nice house, nice area, this, that, and you get blown away by dirt and mess and stench. And you rock up to this next house expecting it to be a million times worse, and it's just perfect. So,
yeah,
just goes to show. Like,
I wonder what's going on with that one, because I know the houses you're talking about, and there's cars out the front, like old cars and bikes and all bits and pieces. And I walk in, and it's just like, it's almost like negative. If you're walking in, it's like, this is an absolute mess. It's a way to really feel positive about it. But that's funny. And I've got so many hoarders as well, like we've been to just creepy experiences.
I think every trader's
right,
been
so,
there.
Yeah, I think everyone's been there at some point. So in terms of getting young people into the industry, what would you say to a young person that might be looking at getting in as an electrician into the trade and construction industry?
Look, I think do it. If the thought of going to uni and sitting in the classroom doesn't do it for you, doesn't light your fire, then consider a trade. Because oftentimes you talk to careers people at school and they'll say, like, uni, 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 uni. And it happened to me when I came out of school, you know, all those 20-something years ago, where I was helping my dad on a job, and it happened to be for my old English teacher. And she's like, oh, okay, you're helping your dad before you start university. And I said, no, I'm not going to university. I'm going to be a tradie. She's like, oh, what do you mean you're not going to uni? And the whole thought, the concept that I didn't want to go to university was just baffling for her. And so, you know, to young people, to answer your question, Greg, look beyond what's in front of you. Have a think about, you know, what else is out there. You know, being in a trade, any trade, whether it's electrical, whether it's plumbing, whether it's carpentry, whether it's painting, it's so rewarding.
There's so many people on social media now bitching about being in a trade, which is like they're bitching about hard work and I've hurt my back and this, that, and the other. But honestly, like for me, I love getting on the tool.
100%.
I love being active every single day. Like I miss being on the tools as much as, you know, I used to be. Obviously, growing a business, you just can't be there if you've got staff under you and all that sort of stuff. But I do miss it and I do love it. Any chance I get to do some renovations at home or any work at home, it's really rewarding because you're overcoming challenges every day. It's a great, you know, way to make money. It's pretty much bulletproof in terms of like all of the AI coming out right now. There's, you know, so much risk to other industries, but not the trade industry. And the other thing is there's just not enough tradies out there at the moment.
Exactly.
So
right.
You probably can get a job anywhere, always, around the world, forever. So it's such a great way. And you get paid. Instead of going to uni, you get paid to do your apprenticeship and paid well now.
Exactly right.
Not like it used to be.
It baffles me to hear some of the money that these apprentices are on nowadays. Like, it's just insane. But, you know,
what'd you get per hour when you started?
When I started?
Do you remember?
Like it was about $4.76 an hour. Something stupid
like
that.
Yeah, I was on 620. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. And then the older guys listening, I was on 60 cents.
And that now was my weekly wage.
All right, cool. No, that's great advice, man. Thanks for sharing, because really want to try and get as many young people into the industry. It is a good, rewarding trade. And guess what? We're going to be the new doctors and lawyers in terms of how much they're making, because our jobs are not at risk. So bring it on. We'll see you guys soon in the industry. Now, I'd love to jump into your business now, man. So like, what got you started? What made you start a business?
It was words that my dad said to me many, many years ago, and they've always resonated with me. You'll never get anywhere working for someone else. And that's just always stuck with me. And so since starting my apprenticeship, I've always had one eye on starting my own business and doing my own thing. And truth be told, this is actually my second crack at running a business. And the first time around didn't end terribly well. And so I had to take stock of a lot of things. But, you know, in what was it, August 2022, I had a conversation with my wife and I said, look, I want to give it another crack. I don't want to die wondering. I want to build something. I want to make something that's bigger than just me. And so we did. I started the business as it is now in August 2022. I signed up to the Academy in September 2022 and I haven't looked back.
That's awesome. 1 month in and you're an Academy
100%.
Member. 100%. And that's some of my favorite stories of people that when they started, they joined. Because the guys that do start, they might have, we've got guys that have got over 50 staff that join. They're like, man, if only I knew this stuff that you're teaching, you know, even for the scale and beyond groups, the leadership groups. All of the bigger businesses, they come in and are like, man, there's so much I haven't done right. I've done it the hard way. And that's all come from collective knowledge, you know, and we've been able to share that to people like yourself who are just starting to make the right decision straight away. So what would you say some of the biggest lessons you've learned are?
I can't do it all myself. That's probably the biggest one. You know, starting out as a sole trader, wearing all the hats, doing all of the things and not doing any of them particularly well. That was the biggest thing for me. Understanding that and learning how to grow the business, what are the things to look for, how to build a team. All of those things that we've sort of picked up along the way and implemented in the business. It's just been gold.
In saying that, what's the outcome of you hiring? Like, so paint a picture of like, what is it before? And then when you did make that hire, how did it change things for you?
So my first hire was actually an apprentice. And that was probably the wrong move, or was definitely the wrong move. Like he's still with us and he's terrific. But I should have hired a tradesman first. And the reason I can say that is because when I did hire my first tradesman, it meant that I didn't have to be there for absolutely everything. I was able to remove myself from sight and concentrate on some of the bigger picture activities. So, you know, it meant that, yeah, I spent a lot of time organizing things for the guys and making sure that they had all the things that they need for their work. But it meant that I was also able to reach out to new customers, reach out to my existing customers, you know, be that salesperson or account manager or business development manager, to really focus on growing the business. And so, you know, without having made that first hire, it wouldn't have happened. And I'd be just stuck on that hamster wheel, just going through the peaks and troughs of workflow. So, you know, again, like making that first hire of my first tradesman just helped take a lot of the pressure off.
That's what I love, you know, helping the guys at the Academy, because there's so many people out there now, even like we'll have people inquire at the Academy. It's like, I just can't hire someone. It's like, yeah, well, that's what we teach you. And all the guys in the Academy are hiring really great talent. And that enabled you to get someone that actually could hand over to, mm-hmm. because making the wrong hire will result in you just being consumed with like training and development of that person as well. And so streamlining that pathway by making the right decisions first, even like you said, hiring an apprentice, while it seems like the right move, I did the same. I had an exceptional apprentice, but I just didn't have the time then to grow the business. And so same thing happened with hiring a VA first and then not a qualified admin, just a friend, and then finally getting a good admin and realizing the difference. And I know you've just gone through the process of hiring an admin after a similar experience.
So exactly.
Do you want to speak to that real quick as well?
It was exactly the same situation where at the back end of last year, I found the admin duties in the business, they were just getting over the top of me. And I hired a VA and she was terrific. You know, she was really quick to learn a lot of the things that we needed her to learn. But we had a few issues in the sense that she was working full-time elsewhere and could only log on for us from about 6:30 at night. And that's about the time where I'm having dinner, I'm in dad mode, I'm doing showers and putting kids to bed and all of that sort of stuff. So she's asking me questions and needs my feedback, and I just didn't have the bandwidth to help her. So at the start of this year, we sort of renegotiated with her and we increased her hours, but on the stipulation that she's available during business hours. And not long after, we hired our first full-time admin manager, and she's been an absolute godsend. And the good thing is that she's taken our VA under her wing and is providing her with a whole heap of guidance, a whole heap of support that, as much as I might want to, I just don't have the bandwidth to do. So, you know, having the right people in place who have the right level of expertise has just been such a game changer.
Yeah, it is everything. And those of you guys that are Academy members listening, make sure you go and watch all of those trainings on how to get the right person to join your company. Because when you get it right and you've got, you know, there's way less training and development, it's way less frustrating. It's, you know, you're not having to lose all of that opportunity and losing money because your attention is on trying to get this person just to do it right. And, you know, we hear all these stories from tradies like, I'm not going to hire another tradie ever again, or I'm never going to hire them again. I'll just do it myself, because they've hired the wrong person. It was a terrible experience, you know, and hired reactively usually as well. It's like, oh, I'm so busy, I'll just hire anyone. And someone just randomly comes across at the supermarket and you're like, oh, do you need a job? Oh, yeah, come work for me. It's like, that's not the right way to do it. You want to go to market, you want to get applications, you want to interview, and you want to interview the right way, and you want to make sure the right person is going to join the company, because otherwise you'll have a really low return on investment, if not negative return on investment, and it will be a cost. But if you get the right person, you're going to have massive return on investment, and you're going to get nearly instant feedback loop on more money, more time. Have you experienced that, Chris?
I have. My first tradesman that I hired, he's licensed, qualified, all of that, but pretty inexperienced and pretty green. And so I had to invest a bit of time from the front end to get him up to speed with what the expectations are for our customers on site. You know, he came to us from more of a construction background rather than the service and maintenance and dealing directly with customers the way we do. So there was a bit of a learning curve for him in the beginning, and it was a learning curve for me as well. But, you know, he's about 6 or 8 months in now, and he's killing it. You know, he's a great tradesman. He understands exactly what the expectations are from us in the business, but also from our customers. He's got a really good handle on the processes that we have in place, and he's been a superstar, I really have to say.
Awesome, man. That's so good. Now, I just want to for you to just talk to our members for a moment. So what advice have you got to the members? Because we've always got new members coming in every day and they're trying to understand, like, how do I get the most out of this? Like, what advice have you got for the members that might be, you know, stagnating, or they might be getting stuck, or they might be new and not really know how to get the most out of the Academy? What advice have you got for those guys?
The one piece of advice I can offer And I think this applies to just about anything you're ever going to do in your business, whether it's your time in the academy, whether it's in marketing or sales or any aspect of your business. You get out what you put in. So if you come into the academy with the mentality that I want to be active, I want to contribute, I want to absorb as much as I can, not just from the coaches and the team at the academy, but also from the people around me, the people within the community. If I come in with that mentality, I can't lose. And by the same token, I've been around a while. I've been in the industry for 20 years, but I'm the first to put my hand up and say, I don't have all the answers. And I wouldn't be surprised if there are young kids who are only just starting their journey who can answer questions that I have. So don't be afraid to get involved and put your opinions, your ideas, and answer the questions that come up in the TSA community, because you know we're all in it together. Being in business can be an incredibly lonely place. So having a community of business owners who are in a similar position to you, they might be in identical position as you, or they may have been a year ago, 2 years ago, 10 years ago. Leverage that knowledge, leverage that experience, and be part of the community.
That's what I love about what we have at the Academy is it's collective knowledge. It's a collective experience. It is everyone has so many good ideas and everyone's testing something. So if you think, if you're not a member of the Academy and you're trying to test things yourself, fucking hell, like you're spending so much of your time and money testing when you could come in and get an answer from, you know, heaps of people that have tried that already and it doesn't work because of these reasons. Or if you're going to do it, try these things. There's so much knowledge in there, and that's what I love about what we have.
Absolutely.
So, I appreciate you and your journey here at the Academy. Oh, it's awesome.
It's been terrific. I think it's so important to note that there's been a lot of changes to the Academy landscape lately. We've got new coaches on the team who all bring different levels of experience and expertise in different facets of business. And that is so, so important. You know, I know that if I have a question around finding and hiring and onboarding the right talent, I can schedule a call with Jen or with Lucy. If I've got a problem with my bookkeeping and my accounting, I talk to Chantel. If I've got a problem with sales and lead gen, I talk to Alice. I've got so many different resources who have real expertise in their fields. It's not just I'm hearing it from some tradie who's done it before and, oh, I did it this way back in my day. I'm hearing real advice from real people who have really done it. So it's you can't put a price on that.
You're getting experts actually teaching you from experts who actually work with, in that very siloed space, hundreds of tradespeople. Yeah, they know exactly all of the situations and scenarios. Combining that with their expertise, specialty knowledge is what gives it so much power. So no, I appreciate you sharing that insight for people that aren't in the Academy yet. So I want to talk about outside of work. So what does life look like outside of work for you, Chris? Like, you're not just a tradie, you're a what?
I'm a dad, I'm a husband, I'm a football tragic, I love my Dragons, love Sydney FC, love Liverpool FC. Hell, I'll watch two flies running up a wall if I reckon there'll be a winner. But, you know, look, life is busy. I've got three young kids and I try my best to be the best dad that I can and to be the best husband to my beautiful wife that I can. And, you know, I'm active in my community. Saints Electrical, we're a sponsor of our local football club and I'm involved in the club as well as, you know, as a coach of two of my kids' teams and on the committee. So life is busy, you know, but I wouldn't have it any other way. You know, we're a part of the community that we belong to and we love that.
In the spirit of vulnerability and sharing your experiences and learning, like I personally speak openly about how hard it was for me to become a dad and building systems and, you know, communicating with my wife to understand, like, how do we make this work? Because a lot of people, if you think about it, you have a baby for the first time. They're like, all right, see you later. Take the baby home. You rock up at home. You're like, now I've got a baby. Like, What do you do?
What happens now? Like,
so what are some of the lessons you learned about being a good dad and being a supportive partner?
Look, it just comes down to time. In everything you do, you're always going to get it wrong from time to time. You're always going to make mistakes. But as long as you devote that time to being a dad, to being a husband, to trying to be your best self in those spaces, you can't go wrong. And, you know, your partner, my wife, she sees the time that I try and spend and try and invest. My kids, they see the time that I invest. And that's the most important thing. Do I get it right all the time? No, not even close. But as long as I'm there, as long as I'm trying, as long as I'm active and involved in my kids' lives, in my wife's life, then that's what it's all about. And yes, it's a juggle. Being in business is busy, but you know, that's why we're going through what we're going through, you know, joining the academy to find that freedom, you know, and to enable me to be my best self outside of work and outside of business.
Love that, man. Yeah, it's all about prioritizing yourself, your partner's time, and your family first. And if your business is pushing into that, it's time. Like, we've got to make some moves. You know, the business is now encroaching on what's most precious. And we don't want to live our whole life burning our relationships, burning our health and our mental well-being, trying to build a business so that in the future we can live this great life. We can live it today. It just takes a bit of structure and hiring the right people to support you at business so you can prioritize that stuff at home for your partner, yourself, and your family.
Absolutely.
So I love that you're living that. It's awesome. Cool, man. Any other words that you want to wrap up with before we finish up this podcast to anyone?
To anyone? Look, I suppose first and foremost, I've got to acknowledge my beautiful wife, Stephanie. It took a lot of convincing for us to be on this journey in business. And she's not in the business. She doesn't work in the business. She has her career. And that's okay. But, you know, the fact that she does support me the way she does and supports the business the way that she does, I can't do it without her. Secondly, to my team, I really want to give you guys a shout out. Ty, Adrian, Laura, Ferry, you guys are making this happen for us, not just for me, but for yourselves, for our customers, for our community. Can't do it without you guys. Thank you. You guys are rock stars. Keep it up. And I suppose, once again, to anyone that's on the fence about joining the academy, just fucking do it. It is the best thing you will ever do for your business, hands down. So forget about, you know, the cost behind it. You will recoup that. You will get that back in spades. Just, I guarantee, in the first month, you will take away that many nuggets that it'll pay for itself. And just keep being involved, keep getting active in it, and you can't go wrong.
Love it, man. Oh, and just firstly, thank you for thanking your wife, because partners out there, you can't be done without the partner's 100%. Support. You know, if you've got a family, it'll rip you apart if you're not in it together. And it is both of your businesses. You've got to know that. Secondly, to your team, by your team, you are driving towards your company mission and your vision and everything you're trying to do to provide value to the community, to lift tradespeople up, to provide a better service, and to wow customers out there. So, wow, is that a tradie? Like, that's so professional. You know, that's what they're doing. And so, you know, and it's never going to stop being busy for you as a business owner, because you are running a business and you're providing this valuable service to customers who are always going to want that and create that demand. So you've got to supply that. And that's something that we can build into our schedule and structure. But the team is, you can't do it without the team.
Absolutely.
Like, you'll just be an inefficient mess. Like, I constantly experience from time to time still, you know, like, you, no matter how big your business is, you will get overwhelmed as a business owner. And it's in those moments we need that self-reflection and that awareness to be able to make those moves and to have the support of the academy. I still get so much inspiration from the members every single day, reading posts and things that are happening. So we're in this together and I love it. So thanks so much, Chris. You've been awesome. Appreciate everything that you're doing and keep up the great work.
Thank you, Greg. Thank you, Academy. Mate, as I said, it's been such a treat to be here today, and I really appreciate it.
Awesome, man. Thanks so much.
Cheers, mate.
See you soon. Hey, I hope you enjoyed the episode. For me, it took me a long time to grow my trade business because I made so many mistakes. It was stressful, it was lonely, and I didn't know what I needed to do to grow the business. And now that I've got operational time freedom myself, you know, I've moved to Byron Bay, my company runs by itself in Perth, it gave me the inspiration to want to help people like you not go through the challenges that I face. And now we're helping people get there in just a matter of years from startup. So I'm so excited to introduce the Freedom Fighters program at the Tradie Success Academy, where you can get to operational time freedom and live your best life. Head to the show notes, click the link, and check out the Freedom Fighters program today.